in the Christian school setting, they're not only coming in with this awkwardness, but they're coming in with this thought and idea that sex is bad. We don't just come at it with this viewpoint of how do kids not get pregnant? We focus it in on identity and image. So we want to create that space where the kids can ask us for the questions. And if we don't have the answer, we got to do some research ourselves.
Dear young parents, see what I did there? Does the idea of having the talk make you want to run and hide?
This could quite possibly be the most crucial episode that you've ever listened to on the Dear Young Married Couple podcast. Today, we're talking about how having the talk is just not enough. And we're going to explore all the reasons why. We have special guests with us today, Karina Hendricks. She's a sex ed teacher in the public and Christian school system.
And if you notice, they kind of look like each other, right?
I walked in and we have our hair exactly the same.
Well, we did our hair. Well, yours is kind of curly.
Well.
But we are so honored to have Karina with us today. She has been an incredible confidant and friend and fellow mommy to talk about all these concepts that we're going to discuss today in this episode. And we have some amazing resources for you.
So excited.
Can't wait to dive in.
Yeah. A special project that we've been working on for quite a while that we've dropped hints about, but today we're going to unveil it.
Here we go. Before we get into the big unveiling, we just want to introduce Karina a bit and talk to her about what she brings to the table today. So first, tell us a little bit about what you do, what you teach, and like your background as far as academics go.
Yeah. So as mentioned, I am a sex ed teacher, but I teach science in general, and I love it. You know, I'm the nerdy sister.
Mm-hmm. She is.
Yeah, she was just like last week at MIT nerding out on on like
robots.
All the robots
things, and you know.
She bioengineering. Is a science nerd.
I love it, and so it's a true passion. And so I teach science and have loved that. But within teaching science, I have had the pleasure and opportunity to teach sex ed in the public school system, starting off in the public school system, but more recently in the private Christian school system as well. Mm-hmm. And it's been really telling, and we've had some adventures and some stuff that we'll talk about today, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, goodness. So tell us personally about your family. So you've been married for?
Yeah, 10 years.
10 years.
Yeah, the big 10. Yep. We've been married for 10 years. Decade. And we have, a 4-year-old daughter, Everly, who is just so full of energy and drama.
Yeah, if you guys follow us on Instagram, I'm sure you've seen Everly and Adeline, our kid.
They're 6 months apart and they're besties.
They're partners in crime for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Oh, man. Yes.
Oh, terrorizing forest.
Yeah. Or vice versa.
Yeah, absolutely. The other way around as well.
Totally.
So it's been fun talking with Karina along the way and Curtis, her husband, about our kiddos, their development, their not just, identity and development as a child, but their sexual development as well. We've had lots of funny stories that we share about
that. Oh, yeah. Already. I mean, she's 4 and just turned 4, and we've had so many stories. But and going into this project, you know, they were a lot younger because this has been in the works for a little bit.
Yes.
And so since it's been started, there's even the more stories have come on, and my viewpoint as a parent has now grown as well, not just as a teacher, but also as the parent point of view.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So before we get into why having the talk is just not enough, talk to us about what you've seen in the public school system. You've been teaching for
6 years now.
6 years. Okay. And even student teaching prior to that.
Yeah.
And I think you were what, like 20 when you started teaching high school science?
Yeah. So I think I was 22 when I started student teaching.
Yep.
And so I was not very far removed from them.
Yeah. Tell us about that story where you're sitting in the desk and the students came in.
Yeah. Yes. Students, so sweet. They come in and plop down next to me and, hi, what's your name? And, you know, like wanting to make me feel comfortable. And I'm like, oh no, like, I'm the teacher. Just like, is this your first day? Yeah, is this your first day? I'm like, well, kind of, but not like you're thinking.
So great. Yeah. So you taught high school science, then you taught middle school science, and you started teaching sex ed, which is called, what's the official name of it?
It's actually funny, called positive prevention.
Positive prevention. And what's the ideology behind that?
So, you know, it's interesting because the whole premise on teaching this is so that kids don't get pregnant before they're supposed to.
Right.
You know, it's literally called positive prevention. Yeah.
Avoiding teen pregnancy.
Exactly.
That's a good idea.
Is a good idea. Absolutely. I mean,
That's the sole purpose of this class.
The sole purpose of this class. And when you talk about, you know, with the colleagues, like, why are we even teaching this? It's, so that kids don't get pregnant when they're teens, you know? And while that is important, it should not be the reason behind everything, you know, that the subject talks about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the public school system, that's what it's focused on. Obviously we follow it, after anatomy. So naturally, we're talking about all the body systems.
So anatomy is not part of positive prevention. It's its own unit.
Yeah. Body systems is the unit.
Body systems.
Right.
Okay.
And so we talk about the ears and the eyes and, you know, all the body parts, right?
Right.
And so then we end it with the reproductive system.
Okay.
And flow into positive prevention.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a natural flow. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I really love the project because we have a different take on it.
Yes.
You know? We don't just come at it with this viewpoint of how do kids not get pregnant? Mm-hmm. You know, we focus it in on identity and image.
Yes.
And
so let me back up real quick.
Yeah.
So you are teaching and you are a Christian household, and now you're teaching this like positive prevention curriculum. How did that how did you meld that with your own beliefs and worldview? Because, I mean, of course, we're all for positive prevention.
Absolutely.
But maybe not in the sense that the schools are thinking.
The California public system.
Exactly. Right. That's a good distinction there.
Right.
Because actually, you know, sex education is not mandated in all states.
Okay.
As it is in California. Mm. And then there's obviously differences in the states that it is mandated in what needs to be taught.
Interesting.
But California being one of the states that pushes it the most.
Uh-huh.
But back to your question, Adam, I had to do some learning myself, right? And I would say that I had a childhood, you know, learning about sex was talked about in our home.
Right.
And while I was not as inquisitive as you, didn't ask all the questions, you know, our parents did a good job of offering the information even when
absolutely.
I didn't ask. And so,
Karina, do you have any questions?
Exactly. That was the line my mom constantly had to take.
Totally. She'd like offer some information and be like, so do you have any questions? What's a question you have about that?
I'm like, sounds good. Yeah. And Chris is over here like, well, how does this work? And this one.
Tell me more.
Yeah. So even growing up with a positive attitude around sex in our family, you were saying you still had to kind of check yourself and do some research.
Absolutely. Because, you know, I would imagine that, you know, our parents had to do research because it's this generational thing. It's just now becoming okay to even have the talk, let alone the talks.
Right.
So, you know, as we go on, we're learning more and more. So yeah, I had to do some research myself and study it myself. And you actually have to be certified to, you know, you have to go through a certain course to teach it.
Oh, so it's not just your teaching credential as a biology teacher.
No.
You had to go through a separate certification.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you learn quite a bit. And obviously a lot of the different methods of contraceptives.
Sure.
But, you know, the anatomy too. And of course I had the background of anatomy being the biology teacher.
Yeah.
So all of that playing a role.
What about the ethics piece of it? Were there any, you know, lessons that the curriculum would offer in the public school system that you were like, I have a hard time putting this out there. How am I going to put it out there in a way that aligns with my worldview?
You know, at the, it just now is starting to get murky.
Okay.
So, when I first started teaching it, actually, know, it was all very good, straightforward curriculum. And, okay. and actually in our school district, we taught that the number one preventative measure was abstinence.
Okay.
And it was the only foolproof method, right? Uh-huh. I mean, because even with other contraceptives, there's that 1% chance or 2% chance, whatever.
Right. Yes.
And so we taught that.
Right.
And so I was on board with that, you know, mm-hmm. of course. But I just now it's starting to get a little murky where they're starting to teach some things that that don't align.
Right. Okay. Right. So that wasn't something you were faced with having to teach yourself, like right. transgenderism Correct. And yeah. same sex attraction and mm-hmm. what that all looks like in right. the public school system.
Right.
So now you still teach science, but you're not teaching sex ed in the public school.
Right.
Now you're teaching sex ed in the private Christian yeah, school system.
Exactly.
Yeah. So Karina is actually the principal of Wilson Academy yeah. and we'll put a link in the show notes so you can find out more about Wilson Academy, shameless plug. And that's where our daughter will start going in the fall.
Yay.
And they have built this school from the ground up. You guys started it 2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago, beginning of the pandemic.
Okay.
Yeah, just out of a need of parents needing resources.
Yeah.
And it's just grown ever since and
yeah.
it's just getting better and better.
And yeah. it's even available online.
Yeah. Wilson Academy online.
Yeah.
Geared more toward middle and high school students.
For the online component.
For the online component. Yes.
Okay. And then elementary yeah. school is on site here based. In yes. Elk Grove. Mm. Yeah. And so now you're teaching sex ed for the first time yes. in a Christian school.
Yes.
Talk about the difference in your experience with the Christian kiddos mm-hmm. versus your public school kiddos. Like even just knowing they're coming into the first day of yeah. sex ed class.
Yeah. So let me talk about the similarities at first.
Okay.
Every kid's coming in with this thought of, why are we talking about this? I don't want to talk about this.
Okay.
What are we doing? Wait, we're going to talk about it with boys and girls.
Uh-huh.
What? Right?
So they're nervous.
They're nervous. Yeah. It's awkward.
Yes. You know,
middle schoolers are awkward anyway.
No right? matter what you're talking yeah. about.
So right. it's even more awkward on top of that. So whether that's in the public school system or the private Christian school, it's the same. It's awkward,
okay.
right? Yep. And they're coming in with that expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you the difference.
Okay.
The difference that I have observed so far is that in the Christian school setting, they're not only coming in with this awkwardness, but they're coming in with this thought and idea that sex is bad.
Mm. Yep.
And whether or not they would say it that way, it's what they're thinking. But let me tell you a story. So, you know, first day of doing this and then the Christian school and, you know, we set expectations like this is a safe space. This is an open environment. Everyone has different level of questions and that's mm-hmm. okay because we all have different backgrounds
yeah.
and, you know, we come at it, but with also the scientific point of view is we right. have to talk about this because this is our bodies and yep. it's natural, all the things, right? Yeah.
And you kept all the parents in the loop.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yes. All yep. the parents kept in the loop. Right. Yep. And we even say like this is a partnership.
Yes.
Like this should be not just be coming from here, right? Yeah. This should be at home more so than here, right?
Yes. Amen.
And this is what all of the card deck is based on too. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we come in and we're starting the conversation and, you know, we create that safe space. And so I was really happy to see the kids, you know, respond to that. And
Good.
They're asking so many questions. Aww. And that's also the same, no matter where you go.
Okay.
The questions, once you create that space, they fire them. They're just boom, 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 boom.
Because they're like, wow, I actually have the freedom. I have permission yes. to ask what I've always wondered.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. Because they are wondering.
Yes.
Well, permission. Mm-hmm. There's permission. And I think most parents would say there's a permission. But maybe there's a more of a freedom because there isn't going to be a negative reaction mm-hmm. or shock, right?
Yeah. And there's just so many layers to this. But I think too, you know, even if a parent's not trying to create this negative reaction, it's maybe a reaction of, I don't know what to say. And so I'm just going to say, stop, like, or don't talk about this, or we'll talk about it later because, you know, you're thinking, I don't know as a parent, but the child's just thinking like, ooh, I guess I shouldn't talk about
that
this.
That was bad. Yeah,
I shouldn't ask that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My mom doesn't normally react like
right.
that. So
yes,
we'll wait for later.
Right. Yep. And so that's a layer, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's definitely this thought coming into it, right? Yep. And so this comment, it was so telling because, you know, they're asking all these questions. And then all of a sudden one of the kids says, well, there's prayer tonight at 7. Yeah. And I'm like, okay.
What was the point they were making?
Right. Then? Yeah. I was like, at first I really wondered like, why are you saying that? And then it hit me like, oh, they're like making the point like, oh, we better be praying because we're talking about sex.
Like we're sinning
we're
right
sinning.
Now.
We're sinning. Exactly.
Maybe this is bad.
We need to pray because we're sinning. And so it's just so telling that clearly this is a bad topic. You know, this is in their minds, this is a bad topic.
Yep.
Even if that's not the direct message that's being sent at home, like purposeful message, it's indirectly being sent.
Oh yeah, for sure. So on that note, we actually returned from a retreat that we were at called the Adventure and Intimacy Retreat.
Well, and that we hosted.
Yeah, it was incredible.
It was so awesome.
It was really neat. Such dynamic couples. We loved hanging out. Shout out to all of you guys who are listening.
You guys are awesome.
So we did this pre-retreat survey and we asked them a bunch of questions, you know, just basic questions about, you know, demographics. We wanted to find out who's going to be in the room, right? And one of the questions we asked them was, what was the attitude around sex in your family growing up? And we just said, pick the closest match. And there were four available options, okay? So the four options were, number one, silence or avoidance around sex altogether, okay? So 51.5% silence or avoidance around sex altogether.
Surprised it wasn't higher. Actually.
Right, yes. Right. Okay, yeah. But here's the next one, okay? Sex is bad or worldly or sinful.
There you go.
12%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I had the talk, but that's it. Lots of awkwardness.
Mm-hmm.
27%. And here's the last option. Sex is a good gift from God that we celebrate in marriage. 9%.
Mm-hmm.
9% of the room said that sex is a good gift from God that we celebrate in marriage. That was the attitude that they felt was, you know, surrounding the idea of sex.
And honestly, I think 9% is probably high.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when we look at the other, so we have a whole bunch of other, you know, questions that we asked in this assessment, and some of the metrics that we have there perfectly match up to what is found in society, right?
Right.
Like for instance, you know, 25% were abused.
Sexually abused.
Sexually
abused.
And
that's about right. One in four are sexually abused.
That's about right.
Yeah.
The numbers that we got on anxiety, the numbers we got on depression, those were all, you know, they matched the norm in society.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Of course, not everybody views sex as a gift from God.
Sure.
Or,
but these were all
church-going
folks.
But these were all Christians. Yes. Yeah. These were all church-going, awesome Christians.
Yeah.
So, but what we were very surprised at, and I get, I don't know, surprised, but also it confirmed, I think, what we already knew to be true, that a lot of people grow up with the idea, for different reasons, that sex is bad.
Just
maybe because we don't broach that subject very often.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think what we're good at in the church is, in some churches, this is not the case in all churches, but in some churches, we're good at talking about prohibitions, right? Like it's not okay to have sex before you're married. It's not okay to look at pornography.
Right.
You know, all the things that it's not okay.
Well, and
to
we're
be
very clear
in
on
a homosexual
it.
Relationship.
Right.
Yeah. We're clear on it.
Yeah.
And I think that's important.
Absolutely.
We're not as good at talking about permissions. Okay. Now, some families are good about talking about permissions. Like, what is good about sex? I remember growing up, the way that our mom would talk to us is like, sex is beautiful. Like, it's going to be amazing. And the marriage bed is undefiled. And we had all these positive talks about sex.
Yes.
And so I think some families are good about talking about permissions. But I think what gets lost altogether in almost every family is the celebration of sex.
Absolutely.
Like that sex is good.
And not only sex, but your body.
Yes.
And your image, right? And so I would match these statistics, not just with sex,
right?
But with your body in general.
True.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we actually, that comment that was made is, oh, I bet we got a prayer at seven.
Right.
That was actually in the context, we were just talking about the reproductive system.
Interesting.
So it was a male reproductive system, it's a female reproductive system.
Because you were using body part names.
Talking about body parts.
Right.
Yes. It was bad.
Wow.
Yeah.
So even just like you said, not just about sex, but the body.
Yes.
And that takes me, my mind goes to the episode we did with that apologist on Love Thy Body.
Love Thy Body.
Right.
Nancy Piercy. And how in the Christian church, Gnosticism has made its way into our theology.
Which isn't Hebrew in origin, but it's Greek in origin.
Yep.
Which is something that actually Paul talks about in a very, you know, like we need to change this way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we know that our body is good in God's eyes. Remember, like, I mean, he says, and it was good.
Right.
Don't call.
We're made in his image.
Exactly.
I mean, how much better can you get?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. So it's interesting because, you know, obviously it begs the question, why do we not have a celebration of sex
right.
and the body and all these things that we're going to be uncovering today in this new resource? And I don't think it's out of malice. I don't think it's that parents go, let's teach our children that, no. you know, their body is awful.
No,
you know,
absolutely not.
That's not what it is.
But it's still the message that's being said.
It is the message because parents don't know what to do, what to say, how to say it, when to say it.
Right.
Right. Yes. I think that's a big question we get. When uh-huh. do we start yeah. having these yes. talks?
The talk.
The answer is now.
Yeah.
Now. Let me just tell you.
Right now.
Spoiler alert.
Yes. And wherever they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We had a question at the seminar that we were just talking about you know, well, my kids are older.
Yeah, they had like 3 or 4 kids.
We've never addressed this. When do we come back to this?
Yeah.
And we said, now.
Now,
right.
And,
yeah.
And you could just be honest and say, look, I am so sorry that we haven't approached this topic. We've always avoided it because mm-hmm. we are insecure about, you know, the things that we're going to have to say. And
yeah.
we mm-hmm. haven't known how to approach it.
We
but
didn't grow up talking about it.
Right.
Yeah. Just be honest.
I want to tell you the truth.
Yes.
I want to give you truth here. And I want to be a source of information that you can rely on because everything you find on Google may be, may be distorted.
Yeah.
Right.
You want to be the source for your kids.
Well, yeah.
Let me tell you something. They are going to wonder, right? Kids, that they're curious and they wonder. And we are living in a generation where you don't have to wonder very long because all you have to say is,
right.
hey, Siri, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Okay, Google, what? Here's uh-huh. your question, whatever you want to ask,
you're right?
Yep. And your question gets answered instantly. And so, you know, if your kid feels like, I am wondering about this and I don't know if I can go to my parents and ask yeah. because I might not get an answer, yep. right? Then they're going to wonder still mm-hmm. and then go get their question answered somewhere else.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah. We do live in a, quote, Google it society.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah Google it.
Curtis is, well, your
oh,
husband,
yeah.
Curtis,
my husband's
he's the chief. Yeah, I just look at Curtis. I know like he's already looking something
right.
up if I have a question yeah. about like somebody
Let
says
me give
something.
Give you that answer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And how much more our kids in our era, like we, this is the information age.
Oh, yeah.
Like we know just about everything that yes. you would want to know. Like it's look upable.
Right.
It is.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And so I can guarantee you your kids are wondering, first of all, and most of them are going to get their questions answered. And if it's not by you, it's going to be by Google.
Right. Right. So don't let Google parent your kids.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's yeah. good.
Or the new phrase is just search it up.
Search it up.
My kids say that all the time. Well, how does blah, blah, blah? Search it up. Well,
search
that's
it
what
up.
They say.
Hey, yeah. look, so people, funny. Don't search it up.
Right.
No.
So that, I mean, yes, we want to create that space where the kids can ask us.
Yes.
For the questions. And if we don't have the answer, we got to do some research ourselves.
Yep, that's right.
All right, yeah, so yeah. The title is why the talk isn't enough.
Right.
Yes.
So what do we mean by that?
So spoiler alert. So we've been dropping a lot of hints and we are so, so excited to announce to you that we have been working on for the last year plus
yeah.
on a project called Having the Talks. Notice how we all went
with an S.
Yes. And it is going to be such a neat resource. We have it coming out in 3 stages. And the first stage is, you probably guessed it because of all the
hints.
I
think I let it slip too. Yeah.
I heard it.
Well, we dropped hints over the last year yes. or so on social media too, but we are launching a card deck for you as parents to have these conversations, plural, with your kids, no matter what age they are.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so I even beta tested these cards yes. and we got feedback from parents of 2-year-olds all the way up to 18-year-olds.
Absolutely.
And the feedback was so valuable. We were able to take that, hone the deck even further. And what's cool about this deck is it's unlike any of the other Dear Young Married Couple decks. So we're going to tell you what makes it so unique.
Well, first of all, it's for parents.
Yes, it's for parents. And it's a tool that you will use with your child.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's for parents, but it's also for children as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it is unlike any other deck because it is two-sided.
Yeah. So it's two decks in one.
Yeah, so cool. So we have one side of the deck that is geared toward that younger age. Now, we're not going to put an age on what younger means because that's up to you. You're the parent.
Yep.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And so we have one side that's geared toward a younger age group. Mm-hmm. And then we have the other side of the deck that's geared toward the older age group. Now, it's the same type of question, but it may go a little bit deeper. There may be a greater understanding. And so whenever you're ready, you can flip over to that other side of the card and ask that question.
Because you might have a 12-year-old that you've never said a word to about sexuality or development. And you're like, oh, snap, what do I do?
Right.
You can use the younger side of that question. That's completely fine.
Absolutely.
But you might be in a household where you've talked for a long time about sexuality, development, identity, marriage. And
body
so you're
image.
Like, yeah. And so maybe you have a 12-year-old that you're gonna use the older side. And we have stats on the website that we'll be sharing where our beta testers said, okay, my kid's this age and I used the younger side or the older side. And so you'll get to see where that shift took place for the beta testers.
Well, and I think too, we are leaving a lot of the decision-making to the parents.
That's right.
And that's how it should be.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because some elements of this, like maybe around marriage, you know, they're not little kids. They understand it. But maybe because the sex talk has been so absent, some of the younger questions or way of approaching it might be better.
Yeah.
And that's up to you.
Yeah.
That's totally up to you.
Totally.
And let me tell you, if you are leaving it up to the school system to educate your child on development, sexuality, health in general, that is not enough.
Yeah.
And that is why we've created this deck, because we know it has to start in the home and we know that it has to come from parents.
Like, think about all the important things that we try to instill in our kids.
Right.
Right? Like, okay, this is the sort of lifestyle that leaves you fulfilled and happy and successful. So we drill these things like discipline. Discipline is the way, you know, here, this is how we do these things. This is, you know, or take, for example, money. Here's how we do this with money. These are the good practices around money. If I were to say you need to teach everything to your kids about money in one conversation,
no.
You've lost it.
Yeah, like, right, totally.
Because you're not going to, first, they're not going to comprehend everything in the first conversation. Yeah. You're not going to remember to cover everything in the first conversation. Mm-hmm. And different situations bring about different conversations.
Right.
So, I mean, just think about money. Now apply this to sex. Like, one of the most incredible gifts from God, but also one of the most distorted topics or act or all these things, you know, I don't know, like this category.
Yeah. Right.
It's very distorted by the world. And if we don't talk about it, the world is. Yeah. And it's very active in trying to indoctrinate, trying to teach, trying to direct. Mm-hmm. And if we don't meet that level or exceed that level of pointed conversation.
Yeah. Safety and transparency.
Right.
They're gonna be the leading voice in our kids.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Around this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's not what we need.
No. And even if your child is sheltered enough, and there are ways, okay? But but if you think your child is sheltered enough to where they're not gonna receive these types of views from the world, it still is not enough for them just to have one talk. And this is why I love the deck so much, because we don't just start with the talk, right? We start with something so, so important. And that theme is running across the entire deck. And that is your identity and your image found in Christ.
Yep.
Right.
So let's talk about the table of content.
Yeah.
So we have roughly 10 cards in each of these categories. Some are 9, some are 12, but roughly 10 cards in each category. And like Karina said, the first category is identity. And this covers everything about who you are in Christ. Mm. And the younger question is going to look different than the older question. So let's just give some sample questions.
Okay.
Scroll to the top here.
There's Can you tell that they're like sisters?
Okay. So the first question is, how did God make you special? That's for the younger. We call it the caterpillar side, and then we have the butterfly side for the older. Yes. So how did God make you special? And then why do we read our Bible and pray? Who is Jesus? Right? We're talking about our image being rooted in Christ. And so we're going to talk about who is Jesus. We're going to tell our 2, 3, 4, 5 year olds, you know, who is Jesus to you? We're going to ask that question. We're going to have those conversations.
That's another caterpillar. That's the younger card.
How can we start our day off right? We're talking about habits.
Yes.
You know, what would it look like to start our day off in a way that is going to motivate us
and edifying. So yes. go now to the older version of that.
Okay.
Of these cards.
Oh, I only transferred the younger version.
Oh.
Because I was looking at the table of contents and then decided to give samples. I'll grab it. You guys can keep going through
this. Yeah, but what's so cool too is when we come up with the other parts of this project, you know, there are resources that help you answer these questions, right? And so I'm just speaking from my experience of having done this in the school system too. Mm-hmm. We do activities that are centered around your identity and your image in Christ.
Yeah.
Which is so cool, right? Because we start off with, you know, you are made in the image of God. Mm-hmm. And so what does that mean? Well, what are some characteristics that are Christ-like?
Right.
And these are the characteristics that we want to show
right.
and we want to live, right? And that we want to show to others. And so it's all, that's the foundation of the talks.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, like, because all of these subjects are so interrelated, it doesn't make sense just to jump into sex ed. Honestly,
right.
That's not at all what we're pushing for here.
Exactly.
It's about opening very important conversations that we know that need to be had. So often when we're working with anxiety and depression and overwhelm and stress and really difficult emotions, oftentimes we can trace these back to lies about our identity. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of helping to fix a lot of people, or actually fix their thoughts, we should say. Now, once we can actually start helping people at a very early age, mm-hmm. help them to establish their identity in a healthy way so that they can handle a lot of these things.
Exactly.
So in other words, we're doing a lot of preventative maintenance here.
Right. Yes. Instead of being reactionary, right?
Yes.
We're being proactive.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so here are some of the butterfly questions. So
of the same ones you just read.
Yeah. So like, for instance, the younger question was, how did God make you special? The older one is, what do you think it means to be made in the image of God? Mm-hmm. So a younger, you know, my four-year-old wouldn't be able to answer that. What do you think it means to be made in the image of God? But she can answer, how did God make you special?
Right.
Right. So we geared it younger versus older. So say like, how can we start our day off right? Number three, what's something positive that you can do or say at the beginning of each day? And so it's just said a little bit more different. It's said a little bit differently. It's a little more pointed. It's getting them to really think about habit formation as a preteen or teenager. Mm-hmm. Right. So those are some of the questions on identity. I won't give all of them, but we get into traditions, ethnicity, nationality, church culture, outward appearance. How are you unique? We get into a lot of good stuff on identity. So that's the first section.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the next section, we jump right into, you know, your image and your actual body, your physical body. Right. And so we might ask the younger child, what do you like most about your body? Mm-hmm. But that question can actually follow us through even into the older stages. And I can speak from personal experiences with teens. Mm-hmm. We should still be asking these questions because yes. they're actually thinking about it the most when they're around like 12, 13, right? And
right, so when their body is changing.
Exactly. Uh-huh. When their body is going through all these changes. And there's so much being thrown at them, you know, about their bodies and yes. what it should look like and what you should be doing. And so to ask this question to a four-year-old, but then also to keep asking the same question as they get older, I think is something very important.
So that's an example of a question that is the same on the younger side and the older side is, you know, what do you like most about your body? What do you like least about your body?
Exactly.
Yeah, I just actually read a study that was done of younger girls, and they asked, I forgot the question that they asked, but it was very telling that like a huge percentage of the girls asked, like, I think upwards of like 80% said that they wish they were thinner.
Wow.
As if that made them more beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. And this is what the world's actively selling. So what we're trying to do is indoctrinate in the opposite direction of like, you know, health is a good thing. We're not preaching against that. But what we are preaching against is beauty looks this way.
Right.
And you need to measure up to this measure or standard of beauty. So you see, like what we're trying to do, guys, is curate the conversations that need to be happening with your kids to really set that solid foundation for all of the crud that they're going to face in the world and all of the messaging.
Mm-hmm.
And they can look at a message, hopefully, and see like they are trying to persuade me in this worldview and I don't buy it.
Yeah. And if you've been having these conversations, these open conversations with them, these pointed conversations with them, then they will be able to recognize that when it's thrown at them.
Right.
Exactly. Right. Yep. Yeah. So lots of questions about body image. We talk about the body itself, body parts. Mm-hmm. Why do you think God made boys and girls differently?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we get into, you know, distinctions in anatomy as well.
Yes.
And let us please emphasize this. It's important from a young age. You know, our 3 and 4 year olds that we have are all talking about this.
Well, much to our chagrin.
At times. Yeah. But here's the thing. I'm glad you said that, because even though we are embarrassed at times by how they'll just, you know, say it out loud in front of, you know, in a store, you know, or they'll recognize that, you know, this man has long hair and, you know, and then, so they're like, but he has a penis. And I'm like, oh man, you know, so.
At Target, very loudly in the line.
Yeah. But even though it's embarrassing sometimes, that embarrassment is worth it to have my children, understand a healthy view of their body and male-female distinction.
Well, honestly too, we're going in so many different directions, but it's a good thing, I guess. And probably all of these need to have a podcast on it, but when the kids are very aware of their body parts, they start to understand, boundaries around their bodies and what is sacred. And when kids are very familiar with all that, there is a decreased chance of, sexual abuse.
Yes.
Or
the statistics are very clear there.
Yes. Right. So, and so we're, of course, huge proponents of this. If we could start talking to our kids in a very positive way, a very open way, but also, hey, this is what God's gifted you. They are not for anyone else.
Yes.
So when this is an open conversation, if something does transpire, God forbid, you're going to be the first one to mitigate the damage.
Exactly.
Or they will know enough to get out of that situation.
Right.
So, and we're talking very openly here, but this is a very common thing. And like, okay, and when we get into pornography, since we're on this kind of thing too, they know what, oh, these are bad pictures. These are not for me. Yeah. So what's happening is we're making them aware enough.
Yes.
So that they know to get out of that situation.
Yes.
Because the age of first exposure to pornography is 8 to 11, which is going to happen at school. Or friends are almost always the ones that show them these things.
And with social media, I'm sure that is much more trending now, where it's accidental, but that's what happened.
Yes,
absolutely.
But let me be very clear. You can be open and honest and have these conversations and use real words, body anatomy, with your children, but set very clear parameters of when it's okay to talk about these things and when it's not okay, and when it's appropriate to talk about, like with whom it's appropriate to talk about.
How would you teach Everly this?
Yeah. So, you know, I would say, you know, she might say, oh, well, just gonna be clear here. Oh, my vagina hurts. And I will say, oh, I'm so glad that you're able to tell me that. Yes. Right. Because what if she's got a rash? What, you know, right.
Yep.
Kids put their hands in their pants all the time, right?
Yes.
And so we want to know what's going on. And so I might say, I'm so glad you're able to tell me that. And you told mommy, right?
Yes.
So it's
praising the action. Right.
Yes. Yeah. You tell mommy, you tell daddy.
Good choice.
You know, good choice, yeah. Right? And probably it's something that you don't want to talk to your friends about. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
When we are, and same thing with showing body parts. Yep. Yeah. We don't show our body parts to anybody but mommy and daddy when we're taking a bath or a shower, yeah. You know, so it's, you're being very pointed about the parameters. Yeah. I don't know why we get so afraid to set these parameters around these conversations when we so clearly define them around other conversations,
yes.
Like finance, right?
Yeah.
So you may talk with your children about finance and you say, you know, we don't share our finances with other people. It's for our family.
Uh-huh.
The same goes for these types of conversations.
Right. Here are my views on credit cards. This is what we do and we don't do.
Yeah.
And we have to be having these conversations all the time to establish it.
Yep.
Like to establish what is true north.
Exactly.
Right. Yep. That's good.
So we could probably go on forever and ever on this subject.
Okay. So let's just scroll through the rest of the table of contents. Okay. So we have hygiene and health,
mm-hmm.
Where we get into like our relationship with food, cleanliness. We have puberty and physical development. So what is puberty? What is a menstrual cycle? What are signs that you're going through puberty? What changes in your body? Reproduction and conception. You're doing that with your kiddos right now, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Good time.
And so, and we'll talk about the next phases that are coming out.
Yeah.
But while you're teaching this sex ed curriculum, you guys are focusing on reproduction and conception from a biblical worldview.
Absolutely. Yeah. And from a scientific point of view as well.
Yes.
Right. Because that's also important. But you know, the different activities that we're doing, it makes it very clear of, and what was so cool that we brought up was that our body systems in males and females are exactly the same except for our reproductive systems. Mm. Every other body system is the same.
Yeah.
Except for the reproductive system. And that was on purpose. God did that on purpose.
Yes.
You know, we emphasize in the curriculum that we were made for a purpose and on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And so we go into that and it's really beautiful.
That's cool. I love it.
That's cool.
So there's that. We talk about birth, a whole unit just on birth.
Lots of questions. On birth.
Adeline is already asking questions.
Oh, lots of questions. Purity and boundaries in dating. That dating, the parent has the decision making, you know, the locus where they get to decide which questions they want to ask and how they want to ask it. But we want to talk about what is purity and what are boundaries and how can we be more open and accountable around who we like and how we like them and how we demonstrate our affection.
Mm-hmm.
And then the celebration of sex and marriage, that's my favorite unit.
Of course.
and that's where we are actually celebrating what God ordained as a beautiful gift in marriage and the covenant of marriage. So we have a whole unit on that. General communication. So just talking with each other openly. And a lot of the cards, not a lot, a chunk of the cards, probably like 10 in each side.
Yeah. That you're talking about the end of each unit?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So talk a little bit about that.
So at the end of each unit, we have a card where we just say, what questions do you have about birth? And so it's this, it's an open-ended question.
Yes.
Because maybe we thought we covered everything in the card deck, but what if they have questions that we didn't think about?
Right.
Right. What questions do you have about, you know, the celebration of sex within marriage? Mm-hmm. What questions do you have about your anatomy, your identity? And so we end each unit that way so that if there's anything else they're wondering, now's the time to get it on the table.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's that question at the end of each unit. And then there's also wild cards. So sometimes there's a question that is, there's no way to ask it in a younger way because it's completely an older concept. And so we just have a wild card on the younger side, which is, what question do you want to ask me today? Mm-hmm. And it was great. Our beta testers, like, they came up with all sorts of things. Sometimes it was so random. Like,
so random.
Can I have cotton candy today?
Yeah.
I think that was a 2 or 3 year old, right? That's awesome. Like, they feel open to ask you if they can have cotton candy. Like,
or blueberries or whatever it was.
Or whatever random question it was.
Yeah.
So it can be anything. And that's a wild card. And then we have that the flip side. Like, I think, like, for instance, one of the questions on the younger side is how do boys and girls go potty differently?
Right.
Well, that's not a question you're going to ask an older kid because they for sure know that already.
Right.
and so there's no way or reason to ask an older version of that question. So we just did a wild card. What question do you have for me today? And obviously your teenager is going to ask you a different question than can I have cotton candy today?
Or not. They might ask that.
They might ask that. I mean, you're the middle school teacher. They might ask
that. They probably would ask that.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool too at the end of each section. And then we have social and emotional development, a whole, like, I think this is our largest unit.
Yes. And this is what's lacking in the public school system curriculum. There is nothing on this.
Wow. Yeah.
Nothing.
EQ is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Like emotional intelligence. I was actually just looking at high earners. They attribute like 90 something percent of their, like how much they earn or like the CEOs or whatever, to being EQ.
Yeah. Like
emotional to emotional intelligence.
Wow.
Successful. I wish I remembered
this. So it's not just about your degree or how quote unquote smart you are, but how emotionally aware and in tune
you are. We're going to be talking a lot more about that.
Yeah.
In the upcoming, you know, months. Yes.
Yeah. So emotional, we go through so many different emotions and we create, hopefully this deck allows you to create a safe space with your child to express those emotions.
Yes. Yes. And, and really teach them that emotional literacy.
Yeah.
Which is massive.
Mm-hmm. Because it's all connected, right? And I think that's also what we're trying to bring here to the table is that we are holistic beings.
Yep.
And we are not just physical and we are not just emotional. We're spiritual. And so I think that's what this card deck does beautifully is it brings it all together and says each one of these is just as important as the other.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And really that brings us into the last section.
So the last section, when things don't go as God planned.
Yeah.
And so we have everything in there from divorce, homosexuality, transgenderism, all the hard questions, pornography, the stuff that's like, how do I talk about this with
my kids? If we think sex is shut down, this is probably more shut down than the sex conversation.
Right.
I actually just had a conversation with someone just recently that, you know, struggling with some of these when things don't go as God planned and feels absolutely alone.
Yeah.
You know, no one ever talks about that. So this is a really important conversation to open with your kids of like, you know, they're going to be wondering these things.
Yes.
We're living so much. We're living in a fallen world and the signs of its fallenness are all around us. And your kids are looking, your kids are noticing, and we have to be able to, with love and empathy, but also truth, address some of these questions and you have to be, as the parents, be thinking about how would I answer this question?
Exactly.
So this kind of preempts some of these questions for you to be asking.
Yep. So that is the first phase of this project. And it is available for pre-order right now. You can go to www.havingthetalks.com and we'll link that in the show notes and you can be one of the first to pre-order.
Yes, and there aren't going to be a gazillion.
There's a limited
number of pre-order. So if you really would like to get this, get your hands on it, do it quickly.
Yes, because we're only doing pre-order for a limited time. And then we're going to be out of stock for a bit while we restock, and then we'll do a big launch. But if you want to be on the pre-order team and get all the bonus perks that are listed on the website, lots of good stuff, we're going to be doing an entire monthly live date night just on this topic. It's a big parent workshop. Karina will be there.
Yay.
And we're going to be sharing with you all a lot about how to answer these questions. And that's included in the pre-order. It won't be included in the other orders, just pre-order. So we encourage you, go pre-order, get all the bonus perks, and you will be thankful you did. So you might be asking though, what if I don't know how to follow up on these conversations with my kids, right? Like we do the talks deck. We have, you know, we have a card that we do once a week or one, you know, a couple cards here and there at a time. And I'm like, ooh, I don't know what to say next. We have some other resources coming for you. And those are the next phases of this project.
Yes. Yeah. So our next phase, and hopefully we'll be rolling those out pretty soon. We have a whole curriculum for the kids on each part of this card deck. So the table of contents that we just went over, that is going to be in the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're rolling that, or I'm kind of testing that out right now.
Yep.
And we're continuing to develop it.
Well, and you've already, you've designed curriculum before for the public schools.
Oh yeah. So we've had,
you can do this sort of thing.
Totally.
Right. But you know, that those pieces that we're missing in the public school, that's what we're adding onto it.
Yeah.
Right.
So good.
Cause there's so much missing. So we're adding that into it. And then if you're still like, oh, I'm willing, I am ready to ask the questions, you know, this is an open book here and here's the great, a curriculum for kids, but I still don't have all the answers.
Yes, we are going to have a parent guide for you. And it is numbered. Every chapter in the parent guide is numbered to correspond to the question number. So if you're like, okay, why do you think God made boys and girls differently? Card number 12.
What do I say?
Right. Then you can go to the parent guide and go to chapter 12. And there's just a really short chapter that we wrote about that answer. And it gives you follow-up questions to ask. It gives you, scriptures that you can include, psychology that's aligned with scripture that you can include. And so we're mainly working on the parent guide. Karina is mainly working on the curriculum, and it will all integrate together. So those will be future phases, very soon future phases that will be available. But this will be the first phase, a good old DYMC deck. And we cannot wait for you to get your hands on these decks. So go order them, www.havingthetalks.com. And then the next few episodes on the podcast over the coming couple months, will all be on Having the Talks. Mm. So we have interviewed so far four or five experts in this field, and we've talked to them about different aspects of having the talks. Yeah. So some of the subjects are becoming an askable parent.
Mm-hmm. Discipling your child's sexuality.
Yes. Why it's never too early to start having the talks. Mm-hmm. How to talk to your kids about homosexuality. How to have hard conversations with your kids in general. Yeah. So we interviewed a variety of professionals and experts, and
incredible conversations.
Oh yeah.
You guys will really love them. So be on the lookout for those, and go to havingthetalks.com. And it's going to be, yeah, I think you're
going to be awesome.
Yeah. You're going to be super excited about this.
All right. Yeah. Please share your feedback with us. We're going to be talking a lot about this on Instagram. So go over there and share with us your stories. We want to hear your stories and what you're doing differently with your kids compared to how you grew up. And we are going to shift the culture. We're determined to have the talks, because one just isn't enough.
And I just want to thank you, Chris and Adam, so much for making this happen, because it's needed. I mean, I know I'm not the only one that feels that way. And I'm just so thankful that you guys have made this happen.
We're thankful you're on our team. So this wouldn't be what it is without Karina and her expertise. So we're so thankful to have you on board with this project. It's going to be so much better because of you.
Yeah. And honestly, it wouldn't be the same without the DYMC community.
Exactly.
We're thankful for all of you who are listening and watching, and this is just awesome. So
yay.
Here we go.
So here we go.
Here's the talks.
Because one just isn't enough.
All right, friends. We really hope that you got a ton out of today's conversation. And if you want help, if you want personal guidance with individual counseling or couples counseling, or even help with you as a couple reaching the goals you have, just reach out. Give us a call at 916-678-1797, or shoot us an email at hello@dearyoungmarriedcouple.com.
No matter where you are in the world or in your marriage, we can set up a counseling session with you, and we can work toward progress. We also post marriage advice regularly on our Instagram, which is @dearyoungmarriedcouple, and we'd love for you to join us in conversation there. All right, see you next week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.